Brief. NASA astronaut Butch Wilmore spoke for the first time today since the Starliner aircraft was sent home without him.
90% of our training is preparing for the unexpected. And sometimes the actual unexpected goes beyond what you even think that could happen.
NASA said it was too risky. He and astronaut Sonny Williams will come home from the International Space Station on SpaceX in February. Secretary of State Antony Blinken today announcing sanctions against Russian media outlet RT.
When state or non-state actors spread disinformation, they attack the very foundations of our free and open society.
Former President Trump repeating false claims that immigrants are eating pets in Ohio, promising if he's reelected,
we will do large deportations from Springfield, Ohio. Large deportations. We're going to get these people out. We're bringing them back to Venezuela.
CBS News Brief, I'm Heather Bosch.
The Kitchen's Open on WFHR, a feature within the morning show every Monday at 9. Join me, Melissa Kay, and my guests to learn about food-related topics that will interest and entertain.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Elections Commission wants state lawmakers to create a new office on election transparency. Administrator Megan Wolf says public demand for transparency is growing. If approved, the office would operate inside the WEC and handle audits and voter accessibility. School districts around Wisconsin will hold nearly three times as many referenda this year compared to last year. There'll be 120 of them on November 5th. Governor Evers says the trend bothers him.
What I'm concerned about, frankly, is when I hear when school districts have to go to referendum just for basics, that's an indication to me that the state isn't doing enough.
State funding has remained relatively stable in recent years, but inflation is forcing school districts to ask voters for more. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A 47-year-old man died in a motorcycle crash in Portage County yesterday. It happened a little before noon on Wilkshire Boulevard near Stevens Point. A 2022 Harley-Davidson left the roadway near North Point Drive and entered the East Ditch where it crashed. The 47-year-old man was not wearing a helmet and died at the scene from his injuries. The Wisconsin State Patrol is investigating the crash. They're not releasing the man's name until they tell his family. Antigo police are letting parents know they're following up on the social media post that has been interpreted as a threat. They have an increased presence at the Antigo High School, even though the post doesn't provide any specific details. They have not found any evidence that this is a credible threat to the schools, but are increasing police presence around the schools out of an abundance of caution. Other states are reporting similar posts. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
History is made for the Brewers' youngest player. Hi, I'm Jimmy Kuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Jackson Churio became the first 20-year-old to hit 20 home runs and steal 20 bases in a season during Milwaukee's 3-0 win over San Francisco Thursday night. Milwaukee leads the NL Central by 9 games with 16 games to play. The Brewers are in Arizona this weekend for a 3-game series beginning tonight. The Green Bay Packers take on Indianapolis this Sunday, and they'll be starting Malik Willis at quarterback with Jordan Love out of action with an MCL sprain. Head coach Matt LaFleur said that even with Love out, he expects the team to come together to win against Indianapolis on Sunday.
Everybody has their own focus, and it's to do their job at the best of their ability and whatever they're asked to do. And I think they've embraced that challenge. I think they'll embrace their roles, and I think they'll stick together and rally around each other.
Both the Packers and Colts are looking for their first win. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Kuska with Civic Media Sports.
Get ready to go for the green or gold with Civic Media's new Text to Win contest. When you go for the green or gold, you could win $100 cash, gold jewelry, and be entered to win our grand prize, 2 indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold in Green Bay. Download the free Civic Media app and get ready to text in for your first chance to win in this statewide contest starting Monday, September 16th. Get ready to go for the greener gold with your local Civic Media radio station.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clouds thicken for tonight, maybe a stray storm late, lows upper 50s. And a mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow with pop-up showers and storms, high around 80. Mostly sunny and a high in the mid-80s Sunday. Lots of 80s ahead looking into next week. Next rain chance, midweek. Right now it's 80.
It's time for Badger football. Get ready to plan your trip to Camp Randall this fall and enjoy our time-honored traditions like Jump Around and the iconic tunes of the Wisconsin Marching Band. With great tickets still available, you can join the crowd for exciting matchups against longtime conference foes like Penn State and brand-new Big Ten rival Oregon. Don't miss your chance to experience Badger football game day. Visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
The Todd Allbush Show.
Going back to this interview we just had, again, many thanks to Michael Cohen, former attorney and fixer for Donald Trump. Let's go back to the phone lines. Don in Milwaukee. Don, thanks for holding. What say you?
My God, Ted, I've been listening to your station, Civic Media, for a long time, and this was a blockbuster. I was absolutely riveted.
The Todd Allbush Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Andra Watkins returns. She grew up in a Christian nationalist household and can tell us how that relates to Project 2025. It's not good. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, September 13th, 2024. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 10:30, we're going to welcome in Tom Anderson, and we're going to talk with Tom about the Wisconsin State Fire and EMS Memorial. They got some upcoming things with their final alarm and roll call ceremony coming up on the 28th. Right now in studio, our good friend Jacob Wagner, public health strategist with our Wood County Health Department. Jacob, good to see you. How you been?
Good. Good to see you too, James.
Thanks a lot for being here, man. We always appreciate the time. Do want to send a gigantic shout out to our Wood County Health Department. We appreciate all of you so very, very much and everything you guys do in our community. And appreciate you being able to join us time to time like this, Jacob. We know how busy you guys are. But we got a couple of important ones to touch on today with, you know, as far as pulling you away from your job. We got a good reason to do it today. Yeah. We got a couple of big things to talk about. And a good place to start is this community survey that you got going on.
Yeah, so the 2024 Wood County Community Opinion Survey on Alcohol and Other Drugs is now available for individuals who live or work in Wood County. So we'll be running the survey through the end of November. By taking the survey, you will help us gain a better understanding of substance use in Wood County. In addition to learning more about substance use in Wood County, this annual survey helps us understand public awareness of ongoing efforts and what is needed. It takes about 10 to 15 minutes to complete. Once you complete the survey, you can enter to win a $25 Quick Trip gas card. So that's the real seller of the survey.
Sure, yeah.
Come share your opinion with the health department.
Right, right. But man, you $25 a Quick Trip, you feel like a little kid. You, that's free money right there. You can just go around. And just for answering a survey, if you don't mind, Jacob, I do want to touch on something with you. And it kind of is a broad subject with a lot of our guests that actually we have on. Yeah. And when it comes to public surveys, and these are things that are making the rounds as they do every year, and we're seeing more and more of these. And the importance of filling these out. Everything Jacob just said is not only important and necessary, but that is data that can really change lives here in this community. I would say the majority of surveys, if not all of them, have that kind of feeling. But there's something else that that we don't often think about with these surveys, and that data is also critical to getting funding, getting grants, getting state or government help. It really does make a big difference when you fill these things out, and not just locally, which is good enough reason to me, I would think most of our audience, but to those that are kind of pushing back or they just don't want to take the time to fill out a survey or what have you, this adds to your tax dollars. It affects your tax dollars. It affects the help that we get in this state, in this city. Exactly. It really does add up.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of what we do in public health, we're serving the community, so we want to hear from the community. And there's these circles that we constantly communicate with, but to hear from the actual community members, from individuals that maybe aren't a part of these committees, aren't a part of these meetings, of these coalitions, to bring in their voice and their opinion on what they're seeing, on what's working, what's not working, it really brings it into all of the work that we do to be able to refer back to these surveys and say, these are the responses that we're seeing, these are the problems that we're seeing, how are we going to address these, how are we going to change these? So it really is a chance, and I joke by saying, give your opinion to the health department, but it really is your chance to speak your voice about maybe things that are working well or aren't working well or problems that you're seeing. And it gives you a voice in all of these meetings that we have with community stakeholders and policymakers.
We'll come back to some of the details of the survey, the time, and some of those things. But if you don't mind, Jacob, I do want to take the opportunity to talk what Impact is and what that organization is doing here in town.
Yeah, so Impact is a community coalition. It's a group of community partners, businesses, organizations, community members coming together to address youth substance prevention is the main focus, but we also work on reducing adult misuse and also fostering a recovery environment here in Wood County. And so this is really huge for the work that we do. We really work on addressing alcohol, THC, prescription drugs is the main focus of the coalition. And I can't tell you how much we refer to these surveys. So I think this is about the sixth annual one. We really revamped it over the last few years to really focus on some of the stuff that the coalition's doing. I can't tell you how many meetings answers from this come up. So if you and fill in those kind of qualitative, like written responses. So it's one thing to click the numbers. We've got those pie charts and everything. But when someone actually says, I saw this, I'm hearing this, or something that's successful, it comes up all the time in these meetings. So you probably think it's another survey, doing it for the gift card, no one's looking at it. I promise you, there's lots of people looking at this throughout the year.
Yeah. It's okay to have a carrot at the end of the stick, and if that gift card makes you do this, that's fantastic. But do take the time to really fill this survey out. And that work that Impact is doing, that is our future. That is an investment in our future. That is thinking about our future and impacting our future and doing it incredibly smart and insightfully, where you're not just looking at these numbers or looking at these answers and then moving on. You're dissecting these, not just the numbers, but these quality answers you're getting and being like, oh, this is okay. So we can mark that down. There's an example. Oh, there's the same example again. Oh, look at that example again. And actually knowing where we need to focus our attention as far as our bigger needs in our community. This helps us narrow that down. Every community, big, small, it doesn't matter, has multiple things going on in it. How do you know where to put your focus? These things help you. These answers help you. It's a really good point to make up, to bring up, I think.
We have so many materials and resources. We have so much that we do at the Health Department with the Impact Coalition. And if we're not reaching it, if it's not getting to the people that we're trying to get it to, then in our eyes, it's a failure. So we want to make sure that people are seeing it. If they're not seeing it, how can we make sure they see it? How can we make sure it's accessible? I should probably tell people how to take the survey.
Yeah, we are definitely going to get to that. Okay. I do want to touch on one last thing before we do, though, Jacob, because we were talking about the importance of these surveys and a lot of these things. I'd be remiss if during an election year I didn't touch on this part of it, too. With all the talk of what is true, what is fake, and these kind of things, here is a chance for you to actually be – there is no middleman. It is you. It is the survey. It is the data. There you go. You have no, I mean, it is straight up your facts, your information, getting right to the people that need it, and being a part of that process. Anybody can sit on the sidelines. We need you in the game. We need you to be doing these things and filling out these surveys. And the more we do that stuff, not only all the data and all the things that Jacob and I have talked about, but also knowing that you are impacting truth. You are impacting facts getting out there and being a part of that as well. You don't get the chance to do this all the time. These surveys really do matter and add up. And yes, we should tell people how they could actually fill out the survey, Jacob. Please tell us.
And it's 100% anonymous, and the way we get the gift card to you is after the survey is you'll be sent a separate link, and then you can put in information to have that that gift card sent to you.
It's a smart way to do that, by the way. That's really cool.
Because we want people to give honest opinions. We want people to feel like there's going to be any lashback from that. But so you go to www.healthypeoplewoodcounty.org. If you just Google Healthy People Wood County, that website's going to pop up right for you. So it's www.healthypeoplewoodcounty.org. Again, just Google Healthy People Wood County. Okay, good. James found it. Yep. Not a liar.
Popped right up for me. Yep, just testing it out. Popped right up.
So if you click on that, then the survey should just be there right on the front page for you. So you click on that and just right down there, it'll give you a QR code to scan for the survey. Or it'll give you a link as well to click if you don't like QR codes, which I know a lot of people don't.
Michael's going to handle the rest of the show. I'm going to fill out the survey because we got about 10, 15 minutes left, Michael, and that's about what it takes to fill this out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's anonymous, and it really don't think that what you say it doesn't matter. We take this information, we put it into a report, and we share this within our committees. This falls on the ears of a lot of different departments within Wood County, so your voice will be heard.
And it really doesn't take a lot of time to fill this out. Even with answering, not just filling out the dot, not marking dots or filling holes or anything like that, but also answering the survey with some of your own feedback and everything. I think it doesn't take a long time. It's a quick process, and not only do you get that cool $25 gift card from Quick Trip, and a shout out to Quick Trip for doing that, by the way. That's a really cool thing about them. They always seem to do really smart investments in communities and support really important things like this survey. Yeah. There's all of that, and again, the good feeling you have of helping the health department and helping our city, our community, get healthier, get better, get smarter.
Yeah.
Is there anything else on this on the survey that you wanted to touch on, Jacob?
I think that's about it. I mean, again, just Google Healthy People Wood County. Take 10 to 15 minutes to fill it out. And we really appreciate everyone's input on it.
Impact, before we wrap up and move on, I did want to talk about Impact's meetings that you guys have
going on as well.
If people want to be a part of these.
Yeah, so Impact is a community coalition. It is open to the public to join these meetings. I did want to give some information about some upcoming meetings. So the next full team meeting is on November 12th from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. And our THC committee is actually meeting on Monday, September 16th from 11 to 12. If you're interested in attending any of these meetings, if you're interested in learning more about Impact, you can reach out to me at 715-421-8907. Or you can email me at jacob.wagner@woodcountywi.gov.
Jacob Wagner joining us right now, public health strategist with the Wood County Health Department. Jacob had a couple of other things we wanted to touch on if we had the time. Where do you want to start with that?
Sure. I figured we'd talk about that Take Back event coming up in October.
Let's do it. Yeah.
Maybe I'll come back again before then. But
that would be good. That'd be great. We'd love to have you on again. But as far as giving people a chance to mark these on their calendars and prepare and get ready for it, this is another one of those important events that you guys host, that you guys are a big part of, that help our communities, that help keep our health communities healthier and safer.
Yep. So October 26th, there is it's a national drug take back event. In Wood County, we'll be hosting different prescription drop-off locations. One in Marshfield City Hall, that'll be hosted from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. One at the Pittsville Police Department from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. One at the Port Edwards Fire Department from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. One at the Town of Rome Police Department from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And then Wisconsin Rapids Pick and Save from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Wisconsin Rapids, they team up with Grand Rapids. So that would be your location if you're in Grand Rapids as well.
Good to know. And again, this is coming up Saturday, October 26th. When it comes to the type of items that are accepted, what are those, Jacob? Can we go over some of those?
Yep. So prescriptions, controlled and non-controlled. So they accept over-the-counter medications. They accept creams, but they must be in the original packaging. They accept inhalers, non-aerosol sprays. Liquids, again, those must be in the original packaging, so don't bring them in like a Ziploc bag or anything. Ointments, patches, pet medications, and vials. What they do not accept, and you can also reach out to me, I can help you where to dispose of these, but they do not accept aerosol cans, biohazardous materials such as body fluid or blood, household hazardous waste such as paint, pesticide, oil, or gas. They do not accept illegal drugs. They do not accept needles or sharps, except the Marshfield location does accept needles and sharps. They do not accept mercury thermometers, and they do not accept personal care products such as shampoo, lotion, and sunscreen. And I do have these helpful little magnets to tell you where to dispose of those and where those locations are. So again, if you want to reach out to me, phone me, email me. I'm sure I'll have plenty of materials for you.
When it comes to these items that are not accepted, Jacob, and you mentioned being able to reach out to you, it's also noteworthy to mention that this is an anonymous thing. This is something that you can do and know that you are not, there's nobody recording, that nobody taking your information. We just want to get these items taken care of safely.
It's super anticlimactic. I don't like to refer anyone to anything that I wouldn't do myself. And so I remember we took some medications down just to see what it was like, just some... people standing around a table outside of Pick and Save. They'll take your vial, dump it in one box, put the vial in another, what do they call their little prescription bottle.
Yeah.
And it's best, I mean, if you're worried about personal information getting out, you know, they do recommend marking your name off or peeling it off. I'm almost positive law enforcement will actually mark your name off if you don't. But they'll put the bottle in one, they'll put the pills in the other, and then that's it. There's a table of resources there, so there's usually some handouts, some freebies. But yeah, it's not intimidating at all. It's not going to take you more than 5-10 seconds.
I've talked with I've talked with Sheriff Becker about this, and I cannot stress enough that our police department, our sheriff department, they are busy. They don't have time to be sitting here standing by a lockbox or waiting for, you know, for one person or anything like that. Like, what's more important to them is not getting a quote-unquote bust or something. The important thing to them is getting this stuff out of our houses, getting this stuff put taken care of responsibly and safely. Jacob, why we're doing this is certainly, I think, noteworthy to the majority of the audience. Yep. They understand getting these out of homes so kids can't get across them. I think that's a topic that has been pretty well covered in society. Hopefully, the majority of people, if not everybody out there, understands what we're talking about there, where that is an important reason. There are other reasons, too, though. But did you want to touch on that part of
it? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, if you have medication, specifically controlled medication, something that... you know, that somebody could be seeking if maybe they do struggle with a substance use disorder. That's one reason to get rid of those. Maybe if someone's seeking to experiment. But even, and I feel like this aspect is missed a lot, the accidental use, like somebody not knowing what it is, maybe a child not fully understanding it. It's things like that where if you're not, people need medication, people have medication. If you're using it, if you need it, you know, safely secure it. We offer lock boxes through the health department. Again, reach out to me. I can get you a lock box. You can keep it secured. If that's a concern of yours, if you have youth in the home, maybe somebody that, you know, there's a potential for an accidental use or a misuse. But if you're not using those medications, if they're, you know, expired, if you don't need them anymore, it's a good opportunity to get rid of those and just prevent something like this from happening. And again, if for some reason you are holding on to those, you do have a use for them, it's great to put those in a lockbox in a secure location. We also offer some doTERRA packets, so that's a way to dispose of at home. So maybe if you're not able to make it to this event, we can provide you with... as far as I can understand, it's like a charcoal-type packaging. You put the medication, you shake it, add some water. It destroys the chemical compound of it, throw it in the trash. We also have mail-in bags, too, so you can put it in a little mail voucher thing and send it out. And then, of course, permanent disposal sites throughout all of Wood County. So if you can't come to this event, law enforcement have disposal boxes. Pharmacies have disposal boxes. So there's a lot of locations to take these if you can't make it to the event.
The reasoning for getting rid of these in a responsible and smart way is certainly, for I don't want to say first and foremost, but to me, per my opinion, first and foremost, keep them out of the wrong hands and people that could not only misuse them, but people that don't know what they're taking or all the above, especially younger people. But this also, and we don't get to talk about this a lot with our health department. Our health department does an amazing job as far as taking care of our public health and worrying about that. We're also talking about environmental health here, though, too.
Absolutely.
And these things, when you dump them down the toilet or you just throw them wherever in a landfill or something like that, it bleeds into our planet and makes our planet sick, just like it can a human being.
And they do the best job possible at water waste treatment, but it's just one of those things where you have all these chemicals in the water that if someone throws it in the trash, makes its way to his landfill, makes its way into the ground, makes its way into the water, eventually some trace amount of that could make its way into your home, and that's I'm sure it's the last thing you want. So yeah, absolutely. And it's one of those things too where you know, and even with like my own personal past, like if somebody was going to get a prescription from grandma, let's say, you know, if it's just in the cupboard, you may not notice one or two of these things missing, right? But it's like, if this is in a lockbox, and I have people tell me, aren't they still going to get into this lockbox? And it's like, true. But then at least there would be evidence there that somebody broke into your lockbox. Time for a conversation, time for next steps, rather than a pill going missing here or there that someone's kind of like did it. I don't know. It's a good step to have that conversation. And again, reach out to me. We've got lots of tips and tricks about having that conversation if that is a concern in your household.
And that's a very, very strong point that I know you've mentioned a little bit here, but I really want that to come home here, that the people that are not able to make it to these drug collection sites on the 26th of October, again, we'll give those dates again as we get closer to it. If you're not able to do those things, I can't think of any scenario where the health department can't help you. They are working with you. They're not even just meeting you halfway. They're going above and beyond as far as, hey, we just want to get these things out of here. And however is best, you're most comfortable in doing that, the health department will work with you on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, reach out to me, call me, email me. We'll find a way to meet you halfway, get you these resources, assist you with any of these concerns that you have or questions, or direct you to the right people that can assist you.
Jacob, let's recap some of the things that we have touched on today. First, if you don't mind, as long as we're talking about it, let's give those dates again of the Wood County drug collection dates.
All right, here we go. Get your notepads out. Write this down.
Yes.
So Saturday, October 26th, Marshfield City Hall will be hosting their prescription drop-off from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pittsville Police Department will be hosting theirs from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Port Edwards Fire Department, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Town of Rome Police Department, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And Wisconsin Rapids Pick and Save from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
And we encourage you also to fill out this survey. Get this survey filled out, everybody. The community opinion surveys, survey on alcohol and other drugs. Jacob, how can they do that? And how long? And what are some of the details of that?
Yeah, so Google Healthy People Wood County. The exact address is www.healthypeoplewoodcounty.org. But if you Google Healthy People Wood County, we should be the top site up there. Click on that, and then just right there at the top is a link and a QR code to enter that survey. Takes about 10 to 15 minutes, and share your opinion with the Impact Coalition, with the Wood County Health Department. And this survey, it's huge. I mean, this is something that we even, when reporting to partners and stuff, we look at the Community Health Assessment Survey. And this opinion on substance and drugs and other alcohol and other drugs, we use this on reports. We use this when meeting with community partners, with stakeholders, policymakers. So your opinion does matter. Your voice will be heard. Take 10, 15 minutes, fill this out, and let us know what's working, what's not working.
I'm going to be filling it out a little bit later this afternoon. I'm looking forward to doing that and checking it out myself, and encourage everybody to do that. Get there, healthypeoplewoodcounty.org, healthypeoplewoodcounty.org. And if you can't find it that way, just type it in your search bar. Pops right up. Sir did for me earlier. As we before we let you go, Jacob, Impact and how people can find out more about being a part of Impact. How can they do that?
So on actually the Healthy People website, so Healthy People Wood County, there'll be a substance use section. Impact will be on there. You can learn more that way. But just feel free to email me, jacob.wagner@woodcountywi.org, jacob.wagner@woodcountywi.gov, not .org. Or shoot me a phone call at 715-421-8907, and we can talk more about Impact. We can meet up. We'd love to have community members there. We really want to address issues and bring you alongside the work. And
Find out more at woodcountywi.gov, woodcountywi.gov, and be sure to follow them on social media. It's a great follow, great way to keep up to date on all the things that are going on over there and going on in our community. And share these things on your social media pages. You just never know who might see them that could be benefited that wouldn't see it otherwise. Jacob, say hi to the team over there for them. We appreciate you guys so very much. We'll talk again real soon.
We appreciate you, James. Thank you so much.
We'll be back with more Midday Magazine here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on WFHR.com. Your news, just for Wisconsin Rapids and surrounding communities. I'm Melissa Kay with WFHR News.
Join our advertising family on WFHR and WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Democratic vice presidential nominee Tim Walz comes to Wisconsin today. He starts his weekend this afternoon in Wausau, then goes to Superior tomorrow. This will be Walz's second visit to Wisconsin in 2 weeks. He was in Milwaukee on Labor Day. Carrying your Social Security card with you makes you vulnerable to identity thieves. The SSA's Abigail Zapote says it's really not necessary, especially if you have your number memorized.
We do ask that folks, first and foremost, not carry their Social Security card around with them, whether it's in their purse or their wallet. Usually that's an easy way to be able to lose their Social Security card.
There's more information about keeping your identity safe at ssa.gov. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The 43rd Fall Ride happens this weekend in Tomahawk. This annual event brings tens of thousands of motorcyclists to the North Woods. This influx of motorcycles on the road has historically led to an increase in trauma cases in hospitals across the region. Aspirus Emergency Department Manager RN Stephanie Dulock said they see a range of injuries every year during this weekend.
Injuries can range anywhere from minor cuts, scrapes, and abrasions up to significant head trauma.
Motorcyclists are 22 times more likely to die in a crash than passenger vehicle occupants. Helmet use remains one of the most effective ways to prevent fatalities, reducing the risk of death by 37%. Stephanie said they want everyone to enjoy the ride, but they're ready just in case.
So everybody's staffed up. We've got extra people on call, extra supplies, and we're ready if we're needed.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Schwabba. It's one thing to have a child outside your marriage, and another thing to have people claiming to be the mom of your out-of-wedlock child all over social media with pictures of babies and fake posts. This is happening to Dave Grohl of the Foo Fighters right now. The frontman acknowledged Tuesday that he had a baby girl with a woman who was not his wife. Now people are posting fake pictures of said baby and pretending to be the child's mother. Some sources are reporting that Grohl's wife, Jordan Blum, has hired a divorce attorney in light of the news. Grohl says he plans to do everything in his power to be a loving father to the new baby like he is to his three daughters with Blum. The Batman director Matt Reeves says his trilogy for the Batman will stick close to the trilogy he envisioned. Deadline reports that while Reeves was promoting his spin-off series, The Penguin, he assured fans and the media his vision for the franchise is sound. The Batman 2 is scheduled to start filming in 2025. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clouds thicken for tonight, maybe a stray storm late, lows upper 50s. And a mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow with pop-up showers and storms, high around 80. Mostly sunny and a high in the mid-80s Sunday. Lots of 80s ahead looking into next week. Next rain chance midweek. Right now it's 78 degrees.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure. Down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin. And the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Saturday. It's a non-conference showdown against Alabama. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. on your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. There are times when folks like you and me who have our investment money smartly parked in index funds start to think, maybe I could be doing better. Maybe I should learn more about that company I heard about on TikTok or from my friend. Maybe I should... Well, let me just stop you right there. Statistically, most people, including professional investors, are bad at picking individual stocks. Success doing that just boils down to luck. Even mega-rich investor Warren Buffett said, the best thing to do is to own the S&P 500 index fund. So when I want to try my hand at investing in individual stocks in the stock market rodeo, I limit myself to 5% of my investment money. That way, when the bull bucks, I'll have had my fun, but the savings I've got will be secure too. All right, folks, for more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Civic Media sports director Jimmy Cuska drops by to give us a preview of this weekend's Packer game. And it's a bar band Friday night as Max Inc.'s Terry Barr joins the show with new music.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, September 13th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here, welcoming into the studio our good friend Tom Anderson from the Wisconsin State Fire and EMS Memorial. We're going to talk about a couple of things coming up with Tom, a couple of big events, the upcoming fire final alarm and the roll call ceremony that will be taking place on September 28th. Want to get into those with you, Tom, but first and foremost, I do want to thank you for what you have put into this community, you and your brothers and sisters over there with the fire department and the people over the years, the people that are still working there, the people that are still volunteering, the people that haven't or have over the years. As a kid, the first field trip I went on when I was in Chicago was to the Chicago Fire Department. And sure. Since then, I have had a love and a respect for our firefighters that I feel like we as a society don't get to highlight nearly enough. So I appreciate the time today to be able to do that and talk about some really important events coming up. Before we do all that, Tom, I appreciate in our pregame you kind of bringing something up and the history around here of this. And I'd love to dive into that with you, especially sure. Given your attachment to this, your connection with it.
Sure. I'd be more than happy to. It was 1995, actually. So we're heading toward, 30 years?
Yeah.
Since we kind of had this idea between, there was four firefighters that basically shared that vision.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They took that and they addressed it to the city and then to the state. And there was, you know, we kind of stirred things up a little bit and went forth from there. And it was a mission to get a Wisconsin State Firefighters Memorial in a central location rather yes. than south, north, east, west. Get it centrally so everybody could enjoy it and travel about the same distance to see it.
Yeah.
So that's why Wisconsin Rapids was so chosen.
Yeah.
And we pushed for a certain part of the park, and we knew it was good because they kind of city actually complained a little bit initially, saying, "Hey, that's our favorite area."
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Good. We'll turn it into something even better. And that's where it started, and we our vision turned into a signing from Tommy Thompson at the time, the governor, and he signed it into law over at the fire station with everybody around, and so it'll be almost 30 years.
It's an impressive story, and it shows the heart of our firefighters, the heart of our citizens, and how much this means to them. Whether there were the pushback that existed or what have you, I can only imagine what those people are feeling now, because this is one of the. I don't think that many people would ever consider this a tourist attraction by any means or anything like that, but it is something that brings people to our area, and it is something that certainly the people of this area hold up with pride and cherish just as much as anything else in our area, like the Cranberry Blossom Fest or any of the great highlights that we have around here, the Water Ski Show Tournament, all of these things. This, when I hear people talking about this area and selling this area, to put it lightly, That memorial comes up, and there is some pride that is taken in that.
Yeah, I think that's what we were looking at when we were looking for a place to put the memorial, encapsulated.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So nothing can be built around it. We have a beautiful city in the sense that we are separated by a river.
Yeah,
and it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know, have you ever seen the sunset, sunrises?
Oh, man.
We have a beautiful area. So that park was perfect. Yeah. Perfect for it. And we took our ideas, that all four of us, and basically made it happen.
Yeah.
And we wanted it to be community-oriented. This is not only professional firefighters paid, mm-hmm. but professional firefighters volunteer. They mean community, like you said.
Yeah.
It's community.
Yeah.
Thousands of firefighters all across the state of Wisconsin we represent, not just Wisconsin Rapids or Madison or Milwaukee or something like that. We're the smaller towns also. And so that's why we have the gazebo over there. We wanted to make it look like a park mm-hmm. setting, but at the same time recognize the sacrifice that some firefighters made in the line of duty. That's where the wall comes in. Some places have a memorial where all the names of firefighters go on that wall when they die. But this is meant to be for those line of duty deaths. The whole park is set up so that it represents all firefighters at any stage of their careers and EMS personnel. We added that just a few years ago. And that represents your first responders, your EMTs, your paramedics. So,
when it comes to having a memorial like this in a great place in our town, in a place, it's also noteworthy. And we're certainly not the only city that does something like this. A lot of cities have their memorials or anything in a good place, but it means something. That location that you brought up, it really does. For me, I like to go on runs. I like to go on walks at night.
So do I. Yeah.
Right on. Yeah. Every one of my runs starts and ends right there. And I'll take a run around the river and come back, and it's intentional on my part, not only so that I am reminded of these wonderful, amazing human beings that gave so much and did so much for our communities, and that reminder of that I never want to be normalized or lost on me or anybody in our community, but also the beauty of it over there. It's a beautiful location, and the memorial itself is beautiful, like all of it is. It's very inspiring.
Oh, thank you. And that's something that the park setting brings. Mm-hmm. You know, you have the gazebo so that people can just sit and talk or whatever. As you walk up, you're going to see the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a central and a high elevated position.
Yeah.
And then as you walk over to the south, you'll see a large bell that comes from Superior. It was actually a fire bell.
Mm.
And it's massive, but we had it located there so, because it's a final alarm.
Yeah.
It's the 333 mm-hmm. from the state of Wisconsin. It represents the call to duty and your final alarm. And that's why we have basically the logo over there is the trumpet sounded, the call to duty. And so you'll see the benches. You'll see the flagpole, the court of honor,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, the bridge over the area that is, it's a, part of the river that you have to leave that open because as it floods, it can come in there, even though it's a dry position right now. But many times it does get wet. So.
Yeah, it's something that I've noticed a little bit over the years for sure. We're speaking with our friend Tom Anderson, talking about the Wisconsin State Fire and EMS Memorial. And Tom, thank you so much for the history, the dive down history lane down there. I loved being able to do that. Let's talk a little bit about the mission of the Wisconsin State Fire and EMS Memorial.
Well, that talks about the mission exactly is those firefighters across the state of Wisconsin, whether you're paid or volunteer, paid on call, whatever, we want to represent the honor and the sacrifice that they make each and every day. The same thing with as over the last few years, some of the EMS personnel. Now, a lot of your firefighters are EMTs or paramedics here in Wisconsin Rapids. I mean, I was a firefighter for 26 plus years here in Rapids. We have to be paramedics also. Yeah. I mean, it's a dual role, and 80% of your calls are paramedic calls.
Yeah.
And this is a representative of that. And you'll see that as you walk over through the park, our statue that we have placed there, and that actually this year it's the 20th anniversary of that statue being placed there.
Huh.
If you look, you'll see that it's one firefighter, generic, you don't know if it's a male, female, pulling another firefighter out of harm's way. Now, that could represent pulling somebody that's deceased, you lost that firefighter. It all depends on what that person sees when they walk through that park. Or you can see somebody rescuing somebody. One person right behind them is coming in with an EMS bag, a trauma bag on their back. That's representative of the EMS and the dual role that firefighters play all throughout the state. Doesn't matter if you're professional paid or professional volunteer. So
This brings up a really interesting point, and a strong point for me, Tom. I think that the structure itself, that the physical thing itself, is a work of art. It's beautiful. And I think that, like all good art, a good painting, what I get from it and what you get from it are going to be two different things. And I think that is always unique and cool about art.
And that's what it's supposed to do.
Right. Yeah. And while that's not what we're why this was built, certainly, but that is one more way of people registering and understanding and having a little more empathy for our firefighters, for our EMS workers. I think that it, just in this simple conversation that we're having about this and just talking about the memorial, we have already informed some people about things that they may not know. The stat that you brought up there and the point that you brought up there about how firefighters have to wear multiple hats and have to learn some of these things, I don't think your average person knows that. So even getting that education out there, right there, we're showing the mission and how the mission is being fulfilled with this memorial.
Right, and every firefighter, whether they're a firefighter or their family or something like that, if you walk up to that statue, and then you're peripherally, you're going to look at the wall. I mean, you're going to see the wall, and it's black marble. So that's got a mirror kind of look to it. So you're seeing yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's impactful.
To the names.
Man.
So now those names are kind of like a shadow of that person. I mean, you got to remember, these people that or line of duty deaths, they have families, they had wives, husbands, they're DNR pilots. They have like two or three pilots on, names on that wall. They're chronologically in order when we first started. But we knew once you open up that can that you're going to open that up to these volunteer departments that maybe they have a name on the on their wall in their office or in their day room or whatever it is, honoring a person that died in the line of duty 30 years ago. But it just never got the recognition beyond their own station or their city. Now those are being found, and there's those names are being processed, and then they check to make sure they're line of duty, and then go on the wall. What is most exciting or rewarding, I guess, for me, the first year that we had this done, that the wall was actually there, we didn't have our lights set up yet for it, so we had temporary lights. So we could show the people as they passed with the final alarm procession. And I saw this young lady walk up there, and she was a wife of one of the line of duty. And she didn't go into the final alarm procession itself, but she walked up to the wall, and she just put her hand on his name. And that... I'll always remember that, because that was the first year it was open, and that's why we did it. Yeah. All the work, all the things you do, I did it for that, or all the firefighters did it for that.
But that
and that's the mission. We honor all firefighters, living to deceased, all the work that they put into their careers, because it is service to their community. But we especially remember those who paid the ultimate sacrifice.
It's so meaningful for those families, for those people that are still with us, to be able to have those moments. I greatly appreciate you sharing that moment with us. And it gives us a true idea of so much of the mission and the point of a lot of this, while also giving us citizens and people that may have not known these individuals, but us an opportunity to read these names. I know, at least I do. I'm sure I'm not alone. I'm not alone in this. I'm positive of it, of reading these names of these people that start out as strangers. As I'm reading their name and as I know why their name is on there, they become people that heroes to me. They become people that I look up to, people that I'm inspired by, and people I hope to be like. It is so many, like, multiple layers to it, having this memorial here and what it can do.
You know, and sometimes, just as it just popped into my head, but I was over there one day, this was several years ago already now, just working. You know, you do some things here and there on that. And every so often, a bus from challenged adults will come in. They want to see the memorial. And this one gentleman that came off that bus, He was so excited just to wear a helmet. And it kind of threw me for a little bit. You know, I said, you know, sometimes you just, you know, I've been doing it for so many years, you kind of take things a little bit for granted, maybe. I looked at that and I said, man, there is somebody who, in his mind, aspires to be or thinks of the firefighters as his hero, somebody that he'd love to be. And I walked him around and showed him all kinds of things, and he was just so excited to have that fire helmet on the whole time. And that's what I also remember. And then as we coming up to the final alarm itself, the day of, we now have, I'm a deacon at our church also. So right now I'm a chaplain over there. So that's, it's wonderful because the chaplain could go, I'll meet the families like around noon. I'll meet the families of those line of duties. And it's important that you understand what they're going through. And a lot of times it's not what I say, it's just being there. That's all you want, you know, just being there.
I think that's a good note to everybody, just people in general.
You don't have to necessarily say anything.
So often people need that. Let's talk a little bit about the final alarm and roll call ceremony, Tom, and what that is and when that will be taking place.
It takes place on September 28th and at 33 minutes after 3. And there's a significance around that because it's the, basically it's a final alarm for Wisconsin firefighters. It's a call to duty, and it's their final alarm. What you'll hear is pagers will go off, the radios go silent, the alarm goes off, and then they'll read the names of the firefighters from that year that lost their lives in the line of duty, or EMS personnel, and then you'll hear the tone, and then the final alarm for these. And it's really... It's hard on the family, but at the same time, it's closure. It's kind of like taps for a a veteran. You know it's coming. You know it's going to bring tears to your eyes, or at least moisten them, but you want to hear it.
Talking to some family members before about this subject, years ago, the word healing came up all the time, and I wouldn't have thought of it until they said it.
If they don't go through that, they don't. The healing process takes time. It just doesn't happen. But you need to go through certain stages in order to heal. If you skip parts of that, you're going to, it's going to be more of a bumpy road for you. And that's why we have what we have. They want to see, the name on the wall is important to them. And they can take a charcoal writing of it, you know, with a sheet of paper and rub it on there. I mean, with the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. It was so important to walk there and see that. And you can take a rubbing of someone maybe you knew or somebody from the city, your city or whatever. So they do that. And that's important. They could take that home with them. It's like a flower from the bouquet that was on top of the casket or whatever. It has meaning.
Especially in the summer, there's almost, I want to say, I feel pretty confident saying there's never been a time I go over there and one of those names doesn't have a flower by it or a rose by it that's been freshly laid. That park and that memorial is constantly being used and seen by people. And it adds up to this big day that we have every year where we get to honor these people. Again, not to speak for others, but I think that our community, I think while we are honoring and thanking in many ways the people that we have lost, it is also a reminder of us of the current people that are doing this, the current people that are volunteering, the current people in our local communities that are firefighters, that are EMS workers out there, and hopefully giving us some more empathy and appreciation of them and what they are currently doing.
Well, you know, I've, as a firefighter, I've been retired now 20 years. It is not hard to believe.
It is a little hard
to believe. You go out in your mid-50s. It's a young man's sport. But now 20 years almost has passed, and I go back as a chaplain at the Rapids Fire Department, and I'm looking at these young men and women that are taking over what I did, and oh my gosh, they're so advanced. We have a tremendous volume just in our own city of calls. they're running 14, 15 calls a day.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this is, my gosh, that's a lot.
Yeah.
And you're, that's a lot of pressure in you. And that these firefighters and EMTs and paramedics, when I go to these final alarm and things like that, you got to remember what they have gone through. I look back and I've talked to a lot of retirees. When I was on in the, I came on in the 70s. So, I mean, we didn't have critical incident stress debriefing. Now you do. You need that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If you, because the trauma, I mean, you're responding to somebody's call on their worst day.
Yeah. And that's all those calls.
That's what every one of those calls. Yeah. There's some wonderful calls.
Yes.
Delivering
yes.
babies, you know, things
yes.
like that.
Yeah. The majority of those calls, though, are people on their worst days.
Are that, and that's what I understand even as a deacon, because I went as a firefighter more for the physical part of it. There's always a spiritual side, always, whether they know it or not. Yeah. You have to, and then now as a deacon, I'm going as a spiritual advisor or person to pray over somebody that's dying or something, but they need that physical touch,
yeah.
and that's what firefighters do. You don't stand over a person. You get down to them and help them.
So. Many of us are here, or our homes, or our things that we cherish are here because of a firefighter, because of an EMS worker. Not many can say that they would not be here without them. I am one of them. I don't think you know my story, Tom, but I was born, real quick, born during a snowstorm on a white couch in a small town right outside of Chicago in Carroll Stream, Illinois. My parents could not, they didn't know I was going to be born. I was very early. And they because of the snowstorm, my parents could not get to the hospital. They called 911, a couple of police officers, but it was mainly firefighters and EMT workers that showed up. And none of them had delivered a baby before. I've got a little bump in the back of my head here because they were carrying me around like Simba from The Lion King and everything.
But,
I am literally physically here right now because of those workers, because of the work that they did there.
That's wonderful to hear.
It's one of the things, and it's one of the reasons why when we have a chance to talk with you, when we have a chance to talk about our firefighters or talk about the final alarm or the roll call ceremony, I, along with many in our community, champion this and want to be right there and making sure that we remember and honor these people. And I personally respect and thank you and so many of the people that trailblazed and paved the way to get us to this point.
Thank you very kindly for that.
One more time, do want to remind everybody that the final alarm and roll call ceremony will be taking place Saturday, September 28th, beginning at 3:33 at the Wisconsin Fire and EMS Memorial in Ben Henson Park at 2031 2nd Avenue South. You can find out more about this by going to visitrapids.com. That's visitwistrapids.com. And be sure to bookmark and find out more about the Wisconsin Fire and EMS Memorial at WFEM.org. WFEM.org. Tom, if people want to reach out to you, is there a way to do that, or should we just send them to the website and everything?
I'm in the phone book if somebody.
Sure.
You know, I won't hide that. I'm in the phone book if somebody wants to contact me. But otherwise, I'm a deacon over at Lady Queen of Heaven. So.
And thank you for
contact
that service as well, Tom. Appreciate that.
Well, who'd have thought?
One of these days.
Service goes beyond one thing, and you.
Honestly,
the Lord called me to another.
One of these days, we're going to have you in just to talk about you, man, because the arc of your life is fascinating to me. I'd love to talk more about you for that. But
someday.
Appreciate you, Tom.
Okay.
Thanks for the time.
No, thank you.
And I want to send a big thank you to Pam Hilke and the great scheduling that she does week in and week out for us here at Midday Magazine. We'll be back next week with more show for you here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Going back to this interview we just had, again, many thanks to Michael Cohen, former attorney and fixer for Donald Trump. Let's go back to the phone lines. Don in Milwaukee. Don, thanks for holding. What say you?
My God, Ted, I've been listening to your station, Civic Media, for a long time, and this was a blockbuster. I was absolutely riveted.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll review the sports news of the week as well as Governor Tim Walz in Superior. Let you know what happened. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Matt and Air on Air.
Wisconsin Public Radio, Dodge County Clerk's backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling.
Oh, it's
a gut feeling.
Yeah, inherently. Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Biden today taking former President Trump to task for what he's been saying about